Good morning, people. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about working life. If you're working for someone else and some of the challenges that happen in the dyslexic mind to really firm some stuff up. I'm also in talks with a really cool company and I'll tell you a little bit about that. Okay, so one of the things we get talked about a lot in our group and around is around the workplace. When you're in work environments and things aren't always going well, and we kind of look at the companies we're working for and we say, hey, these guys say they're inclusive, but they're not actually inclusive. It's a pretty common theme. And what I kind of relate it to is kind of the LGBT movement. The neurodiverse movement for ADHD, dyslexia, etc., is kind of back where they were in the 80s, 90s, where it was kind of starting to, and I'm presuming that I'm guessing those years, but at kind of the point where they were starting to get recognized, understood, discrimination was lowering, and understanding was increasing. Neurodiversity is really at the cusp of this point. And we're seeing businesses starting to understand what neurodiversity is. But what we're also seeing is some really strange things. So one of the beliefs I have and where I think a lot of companies struggle is they don't really understand it. They don't understand what it includes. They don't understand who it really includes. They may have heard of ADHD, dyslexia, could be Asperger's, could be absolutely anything. And what they seem to do is pick a single, let's call it a discipline, but not a discipline, a single mind type, shall we say, and focus on helping them. So like you'll see Microsoft is doing a lot of work around dyslexia at the moment. Other companies focus on ADHD. Other companies looked at actually getting someone with Asperger's in to do coding. It's a real interesting mixture. But it's kind of like if we compare the LGBT movement to neurodiversity, it's kind of like saying we will only accept lesbians, you know, into our business. Like we will only focus on helping dyslexics. We'll only help focus on lesbians. I'm not saying anyone's ever done that, but it's kind of the same concept. It's like you're picking one stream as opposed to understanding how the neurodiverse brain works, how the what we call the right-siders or the right brain works, and looking at how you help that group. Because the commonalities and the challenges between dyslexia, ADHD, etc. are very similar. You know, there are people that are more extreme, but in general, the general population have very similar challenges. And workplaces just are not set up for it. There's a great interview I did with Rich, who's doing some work around the neurodiversity badge in workplaces in New Zealand, and he's going to hopefully take it worldwide. It's such a great concept where companies actually learn what neurodiversity is and actually how to support it as a whole. But we're not quite there. So what can you do in the meantime? So one of the things that popped up in the group was around meetings. And around if you're stuck in a meeting for an hour and a half, and if you're in any business that has more than 10, 15, 20 employees, meetings still seem to be at the forefront of what companies think they're about. You get stuck in those board tables and usually someone who's got a left brain talks really slowly without pictures. And you're having to kind of create the pictures in your head to kind of follow along. That happens a lot. You know, what you'll find with the dyslexic ADHD or any mind like ours is that we are naturally picture visual people. Even if we can't always see our photos, we're more visual, and also we're very much kinesthetic learners. So we learn by doing, experience. I always remember when I was at work once, I had to train someone on a computer system I'd never seen before. But in my head, I could build up the pictures of kind of what it did. And I had all these pictures in the back of my brain from how I'd experienced similar software systems. And so I did a two-hour training with a one-on-one training with a customer. And I'd never used the software before. But by the end of it, she goes, oh, you're so good at this. And I was like, yeah, I am. Because I could just get through it like that. That's the power of our minds. They're so, so powerful. And in that meeting, I really succeeded. And I think one of the challenges we all have is in those meetings, our brains rush off. We go in different directions. It can be very hard to stay, be be able to stay present. So it's really important, you know, in some meetings like that, it's quite important to look at different things you can use. I use an app called Otter, OTTER.AI. Now, if you have a look at that, you can download it. I think there's a free version. And what it can do, which is really cool, is it can actually record the whole meeting, transcribe it, but also keep the audio of it. Now, the transcription is probably 90% in most cases, if it can hear it properly. And the good thing about it is you can search it. So I don't actually search to read it. It's not my thing. But what I can do is I can search for keywords. So if I know they've spoken about something in particular, I can find it and then start playing the audio from that point. So I can be reminded of what I should be doing. And I found that app absolutely amazing because I know I drift off in meetings. I'm getting better and better at it with some of the tools and techniques I'm using, but it still happens. And also, also telling other people from the meeting what I've learned, I can usually remember two or three big concepts, especially the ones visually or story-driven, but a lot of the other stuff, I find it very hard to articulate what I'm trying to get across to potentially subordinates or people that are working for me or with me. So that really has been a helpful tool in the workplace. The other thing as well is what I see in the group a lot around working situations is I feel a lot of us, we're so naturally driven by survival mode. Many of us, 70-80% of our day is in survival mode. And sometimes the only time we really get a break from that is when we're in creation, when we're in our heads creating the future. And it's something we can do so naturally. And if we can hone it, it's a very powerful, powerful tool. And it's where our brains succeed over so many people. You see, a lot of us go into creative roles that involve out-of-the-box, spatial thinking. And so what this has kind of led me to is I had an interesting meeting. When I say interesting meeting, I was a while back, I was driving my mum to the airport. And she's a lovely person. She's in the group, in the Adult the Sexiest Secrets group, very supportive. And we were having a chat, and she was talking about someone she knew who's been doing these amazing personality tests for work, fully focused on work. And they do them mainly for companies, but also starting to do more and more for students. And they're just bringing their system online. But between this company, and I'm not quite sure if it's over the world or just in New Zealand, but I think it's worldwide, is they've been doing it for close on 90 plus years. And they've gained so much information and data around the way people work that they're very good at helping people find what they should or would enjoy doing in their life. And this guy was very interesting. I've already had a quick chat. I'm going to go and meet him soon. But what he was talking about is there is no right or wrong. This kind of test is not about saying, hey, you're just broken, good luck. It's more about saying, are you left-handed or right-handed? So, you know, you can't be right or wrong with left or right hand, but you can be more left predominant or right predominant. So this kind of test goes through that. It actually looks at what is going to work for you. Because what he's found over the years is you find people who get stuck in jobs because they need to pay the bills, or they've been told that's all you can do, or, you know, they've really been beaten down over time around it. And they've kind of gone down this path, and they don't even know how they got down this path or where they are. And they're not actually sure where to go next or what they'd be good at or what they'd enjoy. And so this test that these guys run is really about saying, hey, this could be the area you will get a lot of benefit from and you will enjoy and actually be able to fulfill what your brain does and why it's powerful and why it's awesome. Because, you know, you get into the wrong area. And I had this when I was younger. I worked in insurance and in business personally, like in business, in admin for some reason. And it was a weird experience. Like I would have just, if I was still there, I don't know what I'd do. But it wasn't working for me. It wasn't working for my strengths. You know, I could automate. I think I've mentioned this in other podcasts. I automated my job down to about 2 hours a day and had 6 hours of playing on the internet. And that was when the internet didn't have a lot of stuff on it. It wasn't quite like it was today. It was quite boring. But, you know, my brain was wired to create a result out of the job and give myself time back, which is something I do now still. And I think, if I hadn't been lucky enough to go down the paths I went down, I wouldn't have found the freedom I have today to think, to create. I don't always get it right, but I enjoy the process and I'm able to do these podcasts and help other people. So I'm going to be finding more out about this. I'm really going to try and organize some way of getting some of us on it. And I'll post in the Adult Dyslexia Secrets group when I'm a bit closer along. But I'm always looking at ways we can improve. And do be aware, we've just finished the first video for the Right Siders. It's only a very early stage one, but we're really starting to make some progress there. Me and Vanessa are working through some really interesting, cost-effective products that are going to help people and also support our mission. You know, if we can support our mission, if we can help fund it, if we can find people that want to support what we're doing and take it to a new level, we're going to be going out looking for funders of our nonprofit to kick us off at some point. But I just thought I'd seed that in there. If anyone knows of any ridiculously amazing philanthropists who would understand the cause, reach out, because we're at a point where we can see the vision of what we're trying to create for everybody, you know, in the workplace, in relationships, helping people become whole in their life. And when I say whole, realizing that everything they need is inside them, it's not external, if that makes sense. Everything they need to be happy is inside, not outside, is what I mean by whole. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we're working on. It's really exciting. It takes time, but it's a great journey. And thank you everybody for being involved so far, sharing the podcast, sharing the YouTube videos. Really appreciate it. Have an epic rest of your day, and I'll try and do one more podcast this week.